Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
As we've already said, today is our Disciple the Nations focus, so our preaching today, as you can imagine, is coming out of Matthew chapter 28. So go with me to Matthew chapter 28, we're going to read from verse 16 through to verse 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." At the end of year 12, I went on a schoolies trip. And then after that schoolies trip, I went on a trip that was far more impactful, a mission trip to Uganda and Kenya. And this was the second time I had been over there on a mission trip. But this particular mission trip, there was something different about it. It was absolutely incredible. We were preaching the gospel. We were holding open-air crusades. We were praying for the sick, praying for miracles, that people would be healed. And we were waking up, our team was waking up every morning with a sense of, we are on mission here. Like, God wants to use us. And we were looking for opportunities wherever we went, whether that was into a town or a village, to share the gospel and to minister to people. And for me, this trip in particular was life-changing. It was on this trip where I really sense God call me to vocational full-time ministry, and just sense that this was what God had for me. And it was an incredible trip, and I really think that every Christian at some point should go on an overseas missions trip, because it impacts you in an incredible way. But here's the thing, as I've matured in my faith, I've realized that I don't have to go on an overseas mission trip to wake up every day and to live on mission. Because how many people know that there is a mission field, yes, in India and Africa and different parts of the world, but we are also living in a mission field right now. You see, living on mission isn't just reserved for those that go on an overseas mission trip, but living on mission is what God has for every single follower of Jesus, wherever they are. Whether that's here in Melbourne, whether it's in another state, city, nation, we are called to live on mission. And more we are living in what some call a post-Christian society or a post-Christian world. And what that means is, back in the day when we were in the West, we were more of a Christian society. Most people, most children were raised with a general awareness of the gospel and Christian values, and they had a general understanding of what Christianity was all about. But we are post-Christian in the sense that if you walked up to the average person in our context today, most people don't have, especially young people that aren't raised in a Christian family, don't have a general understanding of the gospel. We have work to do. There is people to be reached in our context. There is work to be done here. And if we're to be honest, I think we've all been through times where we've all felt a little bit like, you know, I'm kind of just bored from, you know, sitting in church and kind of just going through the motions and trying to behave right and trying to, you know, just be a good Christian. And we may come to church and pay our tithe and do all the things that Christians do. But I think often we'll feel these things, but internally there'll be this nagging going on where we just sense that maybe we're called to more. Maybe we need to make a bigger impact on this world. Maybe there's more that I have to offer this world. And if this comes remotely close to our experience of God and the local church, then I think we need a paradigm shift when it comes to how we are to approach the mission of the church. You see, Church on Mission isn't just concerned with a Sunday morning service. I love that we're gathered here this morning, and it's incredible. I love that we have great worship, that our singers sing in tune. Who knows, that is a good thing. I love that we have comfortable seats, although occasionally I see some of you fall asleep in those very comfortable seats. I've seen you. I love that we have this incredible screen behind me. Like, out of all the locations at Newmar, I think we're looking at probably the best version of that Vision 2022 Disciple the Nations. Would you agree with me? I love all these things that we have, and I love the Sunday morning gathering. But the Sunday morning gathering needs to be more about comfort, but it's about the church coming in and being equipped to go out into a dark and broken world and to penetrate that world with the light of the gospel from Monday to Saturday. See, what God has called us to is about so much more than an hour and a half on a Sunday morning. It's about waking up and living on mission daily. And we've talked a lot about the last few weeks, Joseph Street and the facility, the home, new home God's given us. And I cannot wait to have incredible facilities that are going to cater to the needs of our church so well and to our kids ministry and youth ministry. And I'm excited about those things. But what we need to know is we are not primarily going to that place to call home so that we can be a Christian comfortable club. But we are going there to be a permanent presence in the community so that we can be more intentional about building relationships and having conversations about Jesus. See, that area where God is calling us, that is our mission field. We're not going there just to be comfortable and to be a Christian huddle, but we're going there to live on mission in the eastern suburbs of Melbourne. Can you say amen? See, the local church isn't a cruise liner ship, but a battleship. We've talked about this previously, but a cruise liner ship exists to get people from point A to point B as comfortable and happy as they can be. And that's why you have buffets. That's why there's five-star rooms. That's why there's saunas and pools and incredible restaurants and all these things. Some of you may have been on one of these cruise liners. God bless you if you have. But they're comfortable, they're convenient, and people go on them and feel really happy. And there's nothing wrong with a cruise liner as long as the church doesn't look like a cruise liner. Because the church is called to look like a battleship or an aircraft carrier, a ship that equips and sends out. Equips and sends out. Equips and sends out. An aircraft carrier equips these ships, these planes, aircrafts, and sends them out into the mission field, into the battle to make a difference. And we are called to come in and be equipped and to be sent out and to make a difference in this world. To think about the mission of church differently, we need to think about God biblically. It's really important that we think about this whole thing biblically. Before the church had a mission, God had a mission. Before we had a mission, God had a mission. And what we are a part of is so much bigger than us. It's so much bigger than even our church or our preferences. But what we are a part of is something that we are told in Ephesians 3, God had in mind before the foundations of the earth were even laid. That God had this mission to reconcile people in his heart and in his mind. And the fall of creation in Genesis, it set the stage for God to announce this rescue mission that he was going to be so committed to. And God is incredibly passionate about this mission that he has had from the foundations of the earth. And the reason he's so passionate about it is because he has placed intrinsic value in the heart and the DNA of every single individual. And this is what encourages me so much about what Joan and her team and others are able to do. Because when they go into those villages that are really hard to get to, and they arrive and they say, hey, we want to sink a bore well so that we can offer you fresh drinking water, they're not saying, hey, we want you to pay us in return. They're not saying, hey, we want you to come and work for us in return. These people are like, why would you be doing this? And they're simply able to say, because we love you and God loves you, and we want you to have fresh drinking water, but we also want you to know about God's love. See, this is the heart of God's mission, to place value on every single individual, whether that's here in Melbourne or that's in another part of the world. That is the mission that God had in mind from the very beginning. But what I love about this mission is God didn't just talk about this rescue mission. He didn't just put words in the Bible, but he followed through. How many people know that human beings, we can be really good at talking at times? Lots of talk. I'll often say I'm going to do things around the house, attend to this, attend to that. Doesn't always happen. We can make great promises, but we don't always follow through. But I'm so glad that we serve a God that when he says he's going to do something, he follows through and does it every single time. And scripture tells a story of God as a missionary who sent Jesus into the world to redeem what was lost. God is a sending God at his very heart. Sending is a part of his very nature. And we see this in Luke 4:18. It says, Jesus announces himself. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Hear this, he has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." Jesus is referred to as sent, as the sent one, 44 times in the New Testament alone. Jesus lived on mission. Jesus was a missionary. He came from a place of in heaven where he was adored and worshipped, and he came into this broken world as a missionary to redeem you and I. And after his resurrection in John 20:21, the tables were turned, and he said these incredible words to the disciples, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." You see, the disciples were responsible for the continuation of Jesus' mission to make disciples of all nations. You see, the disciples weren't called to go and start something new, to come up with a new ministry or a new mission and to be innovative, but the disciples were simply called to continue what Jesus had started. What are you and I called to do primarily is simply to continue what Jesus has started. And when this has implications for our prayer life, I mean, we need to pray for all kinds of things in our lives, but primarily we shouldn't be saying, "God, come and bless this new thing I'm doing and this and this and this," but primarily we should be going, "God, I pray that you would help me to continue what you have started. God, I want to be a part of your great mission for this world. I don't want to just be preoccupied by what's going on over here." Can you say amen this morning? You see, the mission of Jesus created the church, and it is the responsibility of the church to continue the mission. At its simplest, a missional church is a church that joins Jesus on mission. And as we know, we heard this last week, we have a vision as a global church to plant 200 churches that carry a spirit of revival to disciple cities and nations. And a really reasonable question may be, okay, I've heard the vision, but Luke, why such a big focus on planting churches? Like, what's all this talk about planting churches? Why are we so focused on planting churches? And the reality is that the reason we are doing this is because every time a new disciple is made, that disciple needs a church family to belong to if they're going to grow. You see, when we are serious about the Great Commission and we go and make disciples, what comes directly out of disciples being made is a church being formed where they can gather as a community and they can grow together. Just as every child needs a home, every new disciple needs a church home to belong to. And this is the exact pattern we see in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, they're filled with the Spirit. The apostles go out, they begin preaching the gospel in the villages in Galilee and Jerusalem, and then they go to the villages and the ends of the earth. And the pattern was they would enter into a village, they would preach the gospel, people would come to faith in Jesus, and then a church would be formed. Wherever there is disciples being made, new communities and churches are formed. And that's why we have a commitment. We are serious about planting churches because we are serious about making healthy disciples. People that are actually growing people that are actually encouraged in their faith, people that have community around them, spurring them on to move forward in their faith. But do you know what I think is a little confronting about this whole thing? Jesus has entrusted his mission to us, his church. Like, let's think about this. The disciples are following Jesus. All their hopes and dreams are in Jesus. And then Jesus goes to the cross and they're like, oh no. But then he miraculously rises from the dead 3 days later. And then not many days later, here's Jesus having a conversation with the disciples. And he's going, boys, guess what? I started this thing. I started this mission. But guess what? I'm out of here in a few days and it's all over to you. Yes, I'll send you my spirit to empower you, but I am entrusting my mission to you. I don't know about you, but if I was one of the disciples at that point, I'd be like, Jesus, do you think we're really ready for this? Like, can you stay another few years or just a little while longer? But just as Jesus entrusted his mission to the first disciples, he's entrusted his mission to you and I. And when Jesus returns, he's primarily not going to ask, how did your investment portfolio go? How many degrees do you have? What does your social status look like? But Jesus is going to ask, what did you do with the mission I entrusted to you? Were you committed to continuing what I started? It's a challenging question, but if we're going to be serious about following Jesus, it's a question we need to regularly ask ourselves. As God sent Jesus to earth, Jesus has sent us to disciple the nations. Verse 18, it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. You see, these words mark a moment where a significant shift took place in how the people of God were to live. All throughout the Old Testament, what happened is the people of God would worship God in this holy city. And God's heart was that as the other nations around them saw them worshiping God and saw God blessing them and saw how the community was flourishing, what would happen is that other nations and people would be attracted to Jerusalem and the city of God, and they would integrate into that society and meet God. So it was very much an attractional missional model all throughout the Old Testament. But right here, those words that we just read, a shift took place. Because it was no longer from that point on about just attracting people to a building or to a crowd. But what it was about the disciples scattering and going to people wherever they were. Like we heard earlier, to villages that are hard to get to places and spaces that aren't convenient and comfortable. It's not just about attracting a crowd, but us scattering and going out and getting the gospel to people. Jesus was given all authority in heaven and on earth, and he used that authority to tell us to go. All the authority in heaven and earth God had given to him, and he used that authority to say the word go. Go and make disciples. And I think sometimes in church there is a bit of a calling myth where we feel like, hey, this whole, you know, making disciples, living on mission thing, that's kind of for those like Joan and others that are called to the full-time, you know, mission field and context, or maybe it's for the pastors and people that are, you know, in vocational ministry and that kind of thing, or those that are really gifted. But what Jesus has said time and time again in the Word is that to follow Jesus, to be a disciple, is to be someone that makes disciples. To be a disciple is to be someone that is intentional about making other disciples. God's global mission to make disciples isn't for a select few, but it's for every single follower of Jesus. Do you know that today on the face of this earth, there is over 7,000 people groups that have never heard the gospel? Guess how many people that is? Approximately more than 3 billion people are yet to hear the gospel in this world. There is so much work to be done. And I'm so glad that we're not leading the charge, that Jesus is leading the charge, but we're called to partner with him and continue what he is doing. There is great work to be done. All of us can participate in some way. We can support mission partners financially and empower them to go out. We can be praying into these mission fields and praying for the harvest, that the harvest would come in. We can go into our own places and spaces and workplaces and unis and relationships and share the gospel. Maybe some of us will be called overseas full-time, as Joan was. She was a successful bank manager. I imagine in that moment when you first got the call, Joan, you were like, I'm not sure about this. I'm not sure if I'm up for this. But if God calls you, He will equip you to go and He will give you everything that you need. To make a disciple, you first have to be a disciple. You first have to be a disciple because we reproduce after our own kind. I'm a Conerton, so I had children that are Conertons. As we follow Jesus, as we're serious about being disciples, we will reproduce and multiply other disciples that follow Jesus. But the key is being serious about being a disciple or apprentice of Jesus. And the question is, how can we baptize and teach others if we're never willing to go public with our faith? Just the other day, I think 2 days ago, I was out the front of my house and I was having a chat with my neighbor. I got back from walking the dog and, you know, you do the general over the fence kind of chat. And we were chatting away and it got to the point where this gentleman's wife came out and she asked that question that can often change a conversation very quickly in my experience. Hey, Luke, what do you do with yourself? And I'm like, for most of you, you don't have this problem or opportunity, I should say. For me, as soon as I answer that question, they know I'm a Christian. So I'm like, yeah, I'm a pastor. I work at a church. And my experience has been generally, when I mention that, the conversation either ends really quickly. People will be like, I've got somewhere to be. Oh, sorry, I've got to go and pick up the kids. Or sometimes people are willing to ask more questions. But let's be honest, sometimes in the world we're living in, where there's many misconceptions attached to the Christian faith, sharing with someone that we're a Christian, a follower of Jesus, can be quite uncomfortable, can be quite confronting and challenging, because chances are they're not going to have a pure understanding of what a Christian is. But God has called us to do this and to step up and to be bold, because if I was never to tell my neighbor what I did and that I'm a Christian, when God works on their hearts, they will have the opportunity to ask questions. The only thing God has asked us to do in private is to pray and fast, but He has called us to go public with our faith so that people can have the opportunity to seek us out and to ultimately seek God out. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify God. Let your light shine so they can see God and glorify Him. Before Jesus ascended to the Father, He promised us God's presence would accompany those who were going. Verse 20, behold, I am with you always to the ends of the age. He is with us through the Holy Spirit. The question I have is, how were the apostles, the disciples, so effective in reaching people with the gospel? How were they so effective when it came to the Great Commission in the face of incredible opposition? Because who knows, Paul and his brothers around him, those dudes around him, they faced a lot of opposition, but they were fruitful. How did they do this? They were bold, yes, but that's not enough. They were obedient, yes, but I don't think that's enough. They were empowered each day by the Holy Spirit. You see, the book of Acts is often wrongly called the book of Acts because it's about the Acts of the Apostles, but the book of Acts is actually about the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the lives of the Apostles. Because who knows, the miracles, the signs and wonders, the healings, the gospel being preached, people getting saved, that wasn't the doing of the Apostles alone, that was the doing of the Holy Spirit through the apostles, yielding daily and saying, would you use me today? Here I am, send me. Here I am available for you to work with through me today. Do you know what? The book of Acts would be a pretty boring book, I think, if the Holy Spirit wasn't involved. All those crazy prison breaks, all those signs and wonders, all those incredible things that happened wouldn't have happened without the Holy Spirit. A church that isn't open to the Holy Spirit fueling us and working with us is going to be a pretty boring church, where we're sitting around and going, yeah, I'm just going through the motions. I'm a bit bored right now, to be honest. I'm just sitting in church. Just come on Sundays. Let's be a people that are serious about going, Holy Spirit, I want you to empower me to live on mission each day. I thank you that I don't have to get on a plane and travel to the other side of the world, although you may call me to at some point, but I thank you that I can wake up today and go to my workplace and my community and my relationships with a paradigm and a mindset that I am on mission and that you have called me to continue what you have started. You see, discipleship isn't measured by what we keep to ourselves, but it's measured by what we give. There is one basic question about discipleship I think that we need to ask ourselves over and over again. And to be honest with you, there's times I don't love asking this question of myself because it is challenging and it is confronting and it can mess things up. And it's a simple question. The question is this: am I more committed to building my own life, or am I more committed to building God's kingdom? What is the priority in my life? And to be honest, there's moments where I go, hey, I'm a bit distracted right now. Like, this thing over here is becoming all-encompassing. It's becoming bigger than it should be. And this mission that I'm called to continue, it's kind of not a priority right now. Can we be honest? We're all human beings. We all have priorities. We're all busy, and we all go through this at times. So this isn't a message to, you know, make you feel like, oh, I'm terrible. It's about going, God, I want your priority to be my priority. God, would you help me to use the opportunities that you're giving me each day to live on mission and to make disciples? Often there's this misconception that if I give too much of myself to building God's kingdom, it won't be healthy. I need to live a balanced life. Like, balance is one of those key words. But balance doesn't mean that God isn't calling us to invest our time and energy and gifts into the Great Commission and to make disciples. And one of the things that I love is Christian studies and secular studies now over and over again agree and all say the same thing, that true and lasting happiness and fulfillment is not found in through simply taking from this world and getting what you can get, but it is found through contributing to those around you. True fulfillment and life, that's the paradox of this whole thing. Jesus says, if you give up your life for my sake, you'll find true life. So what he's saying is when we actually come to a place where we give of ourselves to the kingdom and invest in other people's lives, we're not going to feel empty and ripped off, but we're going to be like, hey, I feel more alive than ever before. God is using me. This is incredible. This is actually working, that I'm yielding to God and he's making a difference through my life. True lasting fulfillment comes through partnering with God to expand his kingdom. The last thing I'll say is what I love about the Great Commission is that it makes life really simple. How many people know life can be complex? 20th century life in the West can be very complex. And sometimes we can be like, God, what is your will for my life? And we go on this journey of wanting to discern the will, and it's all getting confusing and complicating, and we're waiting for God to speak to us in a voice or a prophet to come in and prophesy us. And I think sometimes God is saying, hey, you're overcomplicating it. You don't need a voice right now because I've given you a verse that summarizes what you are called to do with your life. I've given you a verse that clearly communicates what my will is for you. Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations. Wake up each day going, God, you have called me to live on mission. Let's not get distracted by everything we don't know. Let's not get lost in everything we don't understand. But let's simply say, God, I want to major what you major on. I want to get busy investing in what is clear, and that is what you've called me to do with my life. Why don't we pray? Father, we thank you so much that your Spirit has empowered us to make a difference. And God, we thank you so much that we are a part of a church that isn't satisfied just going through the motions, isn't satisfied building a church or a facility that is about us and our comfort. But God, I pray that today you would shake me up a little bit more. You would shake us up a little bit more. And Father, we would be more willing to partner with you. We would be more willing to continue what you've started. And God, we thank you that it doesn't mean we have to leave the place that you've called us, but it's simply about waking up and partnering with your Spirit to embrace the opportunity that you've given us. Father, I pray that as we do move forward locally here at East, as we go into that new place and space and that new home you've given us, God, I pray that more than ever before, we would be a people that are living on mission. God, you would help us to penetrate that community and the surrounding suburbs of the East with the gospel of light. God, where there is so much darkness, there is so much confusion, there is so many people who are just living for themselves. There is so many people who don't have true purpose and hope in their lives. God, use us to bring that hope, we ask. God, we say, here we are, send us. Send us to be your hands and feet. Send us to be your voice. Send us to represent you, we ask. God, we thank you that you are at work through each of us. God, I pray that not one person in this room would disqualify themselves. You have made each of us on purpose. You've given us the gifts, the personality, the quirks. You've placed us in the workplace, the uni, the relationship, the family that we are in for a purpose. And God, you have said that it is only us that can reach those in our community. So may we take those opportunities we have seriously, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God, and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.